Lord, please give these my words meaning and inspiration for all of those who hear them in this place today. It's a great joy to be here at Open to God in this warm and happy environment. And I say a big thank you to Steve for inviting me here to speak tonight. In fact, saying thank you, and especially thank you to God, is what I want to talk to you about tonight. But first, a short story. Two old friends met each other on the street one day. One looked miserable, almost on the verge of tears. His friend said to him, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow replied, "Let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my very old uncle died and left me £40,000. "That's a lot of money," said his friend. "But," said the sad one, "2 weeks ago, I won £50,000 on the premium bonds." "Sounds to me like you've been very blessed," said his friend. "But wait," the sad one interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt called me. She said that she wanted to give me £200,000 before she passed away." "That really is God's blessing on you, my friend. So why are you so sad?" The unhappy friend looked at him and said, "So far this week, I've had nothing." Now that's a problem with receiving something on a regular basis. Even if it is a gift, we eventually come to expect it, and we stop feeling grateful for it. The natural tendency is that if we receive a gift regularly for long enough, we come to see it almost as an entitlement. We feel hurt, even angry, if we don't receive it anymore. It is the same with the blessings that God gives us every day. I don't automatically deserve my home, the beautiful countryside, the good friends, the clean water that I drink. But after receiving these gifts, and many other gifts for years, I often fail to be grateful. I've come to expect these good things. When one of them is removed, even for a short time, like water or electricity or the internet going down, I get upset. I'm talking this evening about recognizing the blessings that we have come to take for granted. Focus on what we have rather than what we don't have, and see if it doesn't improve our attitude and, most importantly, our relationship with God. In short, an attitude of gratitude. This brings to mind the words of Jesus from verses 25 to 33 of Matthew that Steve has just read to us. Jesus has come with his disciples to preach in front of large crowds. And his advice is to be grateful to God for all the things that he has given us that we take for granted. Jesus himself sought to live a simple life with few possessions. And like Francis of Assisi many centuries later, he was able to see and appreciate the beauty of nature. "Don't worry about your life," says Jesus, "what it is you'll have to drink or to eat. And don't worry about what you have to wear. The gift of life from God is more important than all of those things. The birds of the air don't sow seeds and work to reap what they have planted, and they don't store them away in barns, but God feeds them. Aren't you even more important to God than the birds? And why worry about clothes? Look at the flowers in the fields. They don't work or spin materials to make garments. But even the magnificent and hugely wealthy King Solomon was not dressed as beautifully as these little flowers. If this is how much God cares for those small flowers who are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more does he care for you? So don't spend your time worrying about these things, and don't worry about what will happen tomorrow. God knows what our needs are, and we should be grateful to him for that and for all that he has given us. I've had a very real experience in the last year about gratitude. Gratitude to God, which has brought all of this home to me. Just before Christmas, just over a year ago, I started to feel ill. And that feeling continued after Christmas and into the new year. I went on holiday to Sri Lanka with my wife Sheila, and my health got worse. When I got back to London, I was in a bad state. And although I carried on working, I was going backwards and forwards to hospital as they carried out tests. Eventually, I had to stop working, and I had a couple of operations which resulted in me being housebound for a number of months. After the operations, I was hardly able to walk and had difficulty in sleeping at night. For quite a long time, I was stuck between four walls and an awkward physical position, trying to recover from the operations and heal. As a result, I would often have to get up early because I couldn't sleep. And I found myself looking out of the window of the garden in the very early morning, at the various birds and animals that passed through it, and also appreciating the scent of the plants. After a while, I was able to go outside the house with a stick and walk around the block very slowly. On one of my early outings, I got about 50 yards, and I just had to stop for a rest in front of a beautiful blue bush that had just burst into full plumage. I was so tired after the two operations and the anaesthetics that I couldn't walk another step for a while. And I just stopped and looked at the tree. I was bowled over by the vividness of its blue flowers and the fragrance of its scent. And I stood there for about 5 minutes and I just looked at it. And then I asked myself, why haven't I noticed this before? And then it struck me that God had literally ground me to a halt so that I was forced to appreciate this beautiful work of nature that he created for me to enjoy, and that I passed every single day without even noticing it. And that got me to thinking that I was probably missing a lot of other wonderful things that God had created for me and for you, and that I came across each day without noticing. So I looked around the neighborhood and out in the garden, and I began to see the dogs and the cats and the birds and the bees all around me going about their daily business in the world that God had created for them. And that made me realize how amazing all this was and how I completely missed it in my daily commute to work and to your bride home again. While I was noticing this, I was still feeling pretty ill. And it would be wrong to say that I felt uplifted and enthused all the time. When you're feeling very ill, it is that feeling that you tend to think about most of the time. And it's very irritating when someone who is well plays it down and doesn't recognize your pain and your misery. Even Jesus had his moment of asking God why he had forsaken him. And many people here today will have experienced times of bad health or unhappiness or grief or deep worry that you just can't skirt over. But I did have the thought, even as my illness painfully continued, that from now on, even when I was ill or feeling down, I would start every day by thanking God for one thing that he had done for me. I knew that God had not forsaken me, but stood by me always, ready to help, but also to teach me valuable lessons. So each day when I woke up, before I prayed, and before I started feeling sorry for myself, I thanked God for one good thing. It may have been that the sun was shining. It may have been the two robins I'd seen in our garden, or the card from a friend wishing me good health. Or even the cat coming up and wishing me good morning, which is something she did every single day without fail. And one morning, I thanked God for the rain that was needed to water our newly created eco-garden at St. Stephen's. And after a few days, I started to realize that I had quite a lot more than one thing to thank God for. I had very many things, and they far outnumbered the problems that I was faced with. That doesn't mean I wasn't worried about my health or in discomfort, because I was. But it did mean that in thanking God for all that he had given me, it meant that he did care. And that if he cared about those things, he would also listen to my concerns about my health. I was grateful to God, and it struck me that in being grateful, I was also having a better conversation with him than if I was just listing my complaints and worries about my health. In effect, I was saying, God, I do need to talk to you about my worries, but first I would like to say thank you for all of the good things that have been given to me that I enjoy so much. An attitude of gratitude is the most powerful way of communicating with God and opens up the channels for him to listen and communicate with us about things that are not going so well. As the country singer Willie Nelson once said, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around. A friend from another spiritual community who I was talking to about gratitude asked me to do this spiritual exercise. He suggested that I write down 50 things in my life for which I was grateful. I thought at first I'd never be able to reach 50. But when I sat down with a pen and paper, I was amazed at just how many good things there are in my life that I never acknowledge or give thanks for or even think about. In fact, I reached 50 without even needing to try too hard. See if you can do it and how surprised you will be. Try this one at home. When you've got a moment, just sit down with a blank sheet of paper and see if you can think of 50 things that you're grateful for. You will find it isn't that hard. There are so many things out there that we take for granted every day that we just don't spare a moment to feel gratitude about. 2,500 years ago, a psalmist wrote about how important it is to be grateful to God in what is now Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods, to him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night. To him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down great kings, he remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Now those words were written 2,500 years ago, but they're still relevant today. As I continue to thank God for my blessings every morning, God has been answering my prayers about my health and sent me some very clear advice and help through some spiritual, medical and other people, which has started to help me heal. And by thanking him, I reopened the conversation with God that I should be aiming to have on a daily basis. And I find that the habit of thanking God has stuck with me. The first thing in the morning when I wake up, I give thanks. When you've been ill and have not been able to sleep properly, then waking up after a good night's sleep is a real bonus and blessing for which I feel genuinely grateful. And if I've slept well, I say thank you right away. We all of us like to have people say thank you for good things we've done, and it gets our attention and makes us want to do more for that person. God is no different. At work recently, after a tough fundraising campaign, a group of us were all given individual books on subjects on which we were interested, with a personal message of thanks inscribed by one of the group leaders. The effect of that gift as an expression of gratitude was to motivate me to see what else I could do for the cause, and to energize and uplift me. Sometimes, like all of us, I have a tendency to move away from God. I don't walk away deliberately, but I kind of wander away, preoccupied with other things, until one day I wake up, often feeling a little bit lost and insecure, and wonder how I got as far away from God as I did. Thankfulness is the most powerful statement to God. Gratitude is a lifeline to God when you're in trouble, because it's closely linked with trust and faith. And because it re-establishes our relationship with God, who is always close to us, he starts to talk to us and help us if we open ourselves up to listen to him. There's a phrase that I've used before when I've given talks at St. Stephen's, but it means a lot to me, which is, walk towards God and God will run towards you. And in expressing gratitude towards God, you're making that connection and he'll come back very fast. So in the week ahead of us, may I just suggest that every morning when we wake up, we thank God for just one thing that he is providing to us that makes our personal world better. And maybe as the week goes on, thank him also for a lot of other things that he is also providing for us that bring joy into our world. And when we've given him our thanks, then we can say, I have something that I'm really worried about, Lord, and I'm very grateful for you listening to me and then helping me and communicating with me about it, just as I'm grateful for all the other good things you've given me in my life. So should we just sit quietly and close our eyes for a minute and thank God for all that he gives to us and commit to thanking him each morning this week for at least one good thing that he gives us in our lives.